show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
You know, maybe someday people will walk around quoting Technorama and we'll find it.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here's your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for December 15th. Wow! 2010. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm frightful. Have you seen the weather outside?
It's delightful. Oh, wait, that's the fire over there in the corner.
Yeah.
I can't figure this whole thing out. Don't be doing that to me. You're messing with my brain and the lyrics don't come out right. That reminds me of some of the tweets that J.C. Hutchins throws out there every once in a while. They're just like one line, one very familiar line of a song.
Yeah, and then you get it stuck in your head the rest of the day?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's messing with you. And speaking of messing with you, we got a whole bunch of stuff to mess with you. We have, coming up in this episode, a 2,000-year-old machine redone in Lego, a new spin on the old Christmas carols, and some last-minute gift ideas for the geek kids in your life. All that and more coming right up.
What do you think of Technorama?
What's that?
You're listening to Chuck and Craig with Technorama. Did I say that right? Where's my money? You say you give me $10. Now get out of here.
Short break, back to work.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to the chat room real quick because they're messing with us. We had a blizzard in the Midwest this past weekend, and apparently...
A lizard?
Blizzard.
Oh, blizzard.
What was it? Not Adrian. They name these like hurricanes.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. Oh. It was a boy's name, but I can't remember what it is. Anyway.
Zachary.
No, it was an A.
Oh,
Zachary. You're quick. We'll get to the ABCs later. We've got a book to help you learn those.
Yeah. Dr. Seuss.
In the chat room, we have AD Cold Outside, Ben Vaughn, Captain Rootbeer, must be a Rootbeer float, Deb Drup, Brew, Marvy Snowflake, Night Blizzard Star, Snowy Tim Testmad, and ZML Raining.
I guess it's not ZML snowing anymore.
Aiden, that's what it is. Thanks to Kevin Kostalecki, who popped in on another chat tab.
I thought it was Alexis. Is that what?
No. Aiden.
Okay, Aiden. All right.
What? You are like off a half a wavelength or something, man.
Well, AD Cold Outside just said Alexis. That's why I said that.
No, that's his name.
Oh.
He's voting. Oh. He thinks he's got some kind of vote.
Well, you said it started with an A, and I'm thinking, well, okay, that works.
Turning to the birthday calendar, we've got December 17th is Jorgis Rowan, one of our long-time... Happy birthday to you.
Where's that birthday song we had?
I've looked. It's I cannot find it. It doesn't seem to be in the archives. We're going to have to come up with something new. If somebody's got some kind of open license birthday song, or you know what?
Sing it.
Craig and I think we can just come up with our own if you really want to pay the price.
Yeah, might do that.
December 20th is Phil Burchill, who will be 0x21 in 2006, is what the comment means. So this year he's 0x25. Keep going with those hex numbers, man. It makes you feel younger. I know it works for me.
At least you know something the kids don't.
And December 21st, James Ballard, a.k.a. Carrick Sindrew. We haven't seen him or heard from him in a long time. James, where you been, man?
We need a Technorama homecoming.
A homecoming, yeah. Mark Shepard could be there.
Yeah, we need to get all the people that used to come in the chat room or hang out, talk to us. Huh?
Zahadoom? Let's get them together for the holidays.
Yeah, we need a Technorama Homecoming 2011.
And if you can't be there, send us an e-card.
Yeah, can you E-R-S-E-P?
Ah, a five-letter acronym. I'm no good with those unless they spell something.
E-R-S-V-P.
If you want to get on our birthday calendar, you can join. You can do that at chuckchat.com/wiki. If it happens to be your birthday and we didn't call out your name, you're not one of those magic three, the three wise men.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you anyway. We hope you have a wonderful day, wonderful week, and finish up the new year strong. If you happen to be around on Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern time, you can listen to the audio stream, watch the video, and even participate in the chat room like some of those names we called out.
Only if you're naughty. Nice, not naughty.
Just go to our website at chuckchat.com/technorama, and you'll find us all there every Sunday. Follow the tweet. You can get there. We can help you navigate. We've got a GPS on our website. Not really.
It'll tell you you're on the internet.
All right, we got to check what happened on this day in history. On this day in history for December 15th, 2010, it was on this date in 1863 in Romania that the mountain railway from Anina to Orivita is used for the first time.
The Wright brothers' first attempt to launch the Wright Flyer at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, happened today in 1903.
55 years ago today in 1955, Jens Olsen's world clock is started by Danish King Frederick IX and Jens Olsen's youngest grandchild, Birgit.
Gemini 6A, crewed by Wally Schirra and Thomas Taffer, is launched from Cape Kennedy, Florida today in 1965. Four orbits later, it achieved the first space rendezvous with Gemini 7.
Today in year 2000, the third reactor at Chernobyl nuclear power plant is shut down.
And that same day, 5 years later, the F-22 Raptor was introduced by the U.S. Air Force, was introduced to U.S. Air Force active service.
First flight of the F-35 Lightning II is made today in 2006.
And same with the airplane theme, the Boeing's new 787 Dreamliner makes its maiden voyage from Seattle, Washington to this date in 2009.
Happy birthday on this date goes out to Gustave Eiffel, the French engineer and architect, most noted for the Eiffel Tower. He was born today in 1832.
French physicist and Nobel laureate, Thierry Becquerel.
Henri Becquerel.
Yeah, that too. Was born the same date in 1852.
December 15th, 1860 is the birth of Niels Riberg Finsen, the Danish physician and Nobel laureate.
And another Nobel laureate, New Zealand's Maurice Wilkins, was born today in 1915.
It's pronounced Maurice Wilkins.
Yeah.
Freeman Dyson, the English-born American physicist, turns 87 today.
And Ensign Harry Kim from Star Trek Voyage, for Eric Wang, is 42. Wong. Hey, but he's 42.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for December 15th, 2010.
Good news, nobodies.
First news story up we have is... I love this.
Hey, so does Harrison.
Man changes his name to Captain Awesome. And he uses arrows and smiley faces as his signatures. Now, wait, I've got a picture of this. This is awesome. Pun intended.
Douglas Allen Smith had legally changed his name to Captain Awesome. And yes, the signature is an arrow pointing to the right with a smiley face. Immediately after that is another one pointing to the left. And there is a picture of him there listed with his ID card. He just, an unemployed Eugene cabinet installer says he found it funny that Dr. Devin Captain Awesome from the show Chuck, Welcome's father, gave him that nickname because of a poor nickname builds good character. The former Mr. Smith says he faced a Lane County judge who questioned his seriousness, and the judge that granted the request made him swear that he wasn't changing his name for fraudulent reasons.
Awesome says that the judge also allowed him to sign his name as a right arrow, a smiley face, and a left arrow. He says his bank, however, has refused to accept a signature because it could be forged too easily.
Well,
no, it's all in the eyes. It's how you do the eyes on the smiley face.
Well, I remember somebody telling me, and this is probably like one of those urban myth things, but you know, at the bank, you could write a check, quote unquote, on a bar napkin, and they would accept it. Is that true?
Sounds like a Mythbusters thing. We could try that.
I mean, you know, so why wouldn't they take a signature like, hey, wait a minute, who else is going to have that signature? I mean, you know.
But it's too easy to forge. You could walk in and say, I'm Captain Awesome.
I don't know. His little smile face has little curly eyes like he's smiling, you know, beaming.
So maybe. Guy just doesn't look like he's got all the light bulbs on his Christmas tree lit up.
You know, if I name myself Captain Awesome, I'd want to spell out Captain Awesome in all caps. That'd be my signature.
You go with that.
Hey, how far-fetched is this, though? We got an Obi-Wan Kenobi, Luke Skywalker. Yeah, everybody changes their name. Well, a lot of people have, I should say.
And some people lay claim to the sun. Meanwhile, we're going on to the Hacks and Strange Stories.
Okay.
Hacks and Strange Stories!
Which brings us to our first top story. Oh, I don't have a picture of it. I thought I did.
A chicken-powered Steadicam.
That's right.
Whose poultry has a future in Hollywood.
Let me see. I know I have a picture. There it is. Hold on. I got a picture. There.
It's a chicken with a thing strapped to his head.
Yes.
Poor chicken.
If you've decided to use a full-fledged Steadicam in your next indie blockbuster, you better make sure you have a budget. Then you can run upwards of $45,000. Sure, there are cheaper options out there, some more sophisticated than others, but none quite as amazing as this. It's the chicken-powered Steadicam from Penny Whistle Productions, and it is, quite simply, a chicken with a camera on its head, making use of the bird's stabilizing vestibulo-ocular reflex. And in the video...
Wait a minute.
There's a video.
By the way, I like how the guy's got safety glasses on.
You know why? Because he's holding a rooster with dang big
talons.
Yeah, the dewclaw thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I see it now. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they're nasty. But it's amazing. He takes this chicken and he's rotating it all around, but yet it's still fixated on the microwave.
That's pretty interesting.
Uh huh. Yeah. But suddenly you're not laughing anymore, chicken boy.
Oh, yeah. What about, you know, you have the actors over there and you got the Steadicam. How do you know the chicken's rooster or whatever is going to be focused on them and not the microwave?
I want to know, you know, the thing on the head, the comb? He's got a big paper clip holding in the camera to the comb and then a rubber band holding it, like, steady in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
Does the comb have any nerves? Is this thing going, ah, ah!
I think this could be big for the porn industry.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, that's all I'm going to say.
No. There's a pun, and I'm not going to say it. I'm not going there.
Resist, Chuck.
This is a family kind of show, so I'll leave you with that. Yeah. It's too obvious.
Maybe that's why he's got the safety glasses on.
Porn rooster.
Go for it. Okay. Let's
connect the dots. Yeah. What's the it's like one of those SAT things. What's the next logical word in this sequence?
Oh boy.
Leave it alone. Leave it alone. All right. Second one we got is frenzied cross country race carried out on Google Street View.
Yay, the Cannonball Run goes digital.
Interesting. Driving across the United States is no simple task, as our own editors John Neff and Damon Leverink recently found out. It takes a few days, a lot of planning, and plenty of Red Bull to successfully motor across the good old U.S. of A. However, our tech-savvy culture now allows us to virtually experience the open road through the magic of Google Street View. And two men took it upon themselves to see if you could drive from California to New York using only Google Street Mapping software. It took 90 hours, approximately 104,619 mouse clicks. That's an approximation, by the way. But these two gents successfully piloted their way across the United States, San Francisco to New York, all through the magic of the interwebs.
You know what's... Hey, I got a question. I've gone cross country before, and
I can't even get like a mile down the road, man. I get bored. It's like click, draw, click.
Yeah, you get lost somewhere.
Draw.
No, but look, I'm not talking about this. I mean, I've driven cross country before with my wife. Now, it took 5 days. You know what? You could actually just go get in the car and do it. 5 days, 6 days maybe.
Wait a minute.
You stop.
Huh? 90 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying it's about as long as it would take to actually drive?
5 days, 6 days. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
But when you click, you're not moving along at 60 miles an hour.
No, but it's not automated. So you have to click each time to get it to move. So it's probably.
But you're clicking like almost as fast as you can ride a bike. Have you navigated around a city and gone click? You move like 100 feet and then you click again. You move another 100 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy this 90 hour stuff. I mean, maybe on the open road. Boy, that would be dang boring going across like I-80 through
Nebraska. There are some boring areas. Texas, it's just long, you know, things like that. But there's things to see, and, you know, if you plan your trip well, sure, you can just have a good time.
Is that another guy crashed out on the couch?
Yeah, well, they're both racing.
Oh, I see. They're doing it like are they racing?
Yeah, against each other. And
well, why is one asleep on the couch?
I guess he gave up, and then he gets back up. But actually, he's the winner.
He had to pull over. He was getting tired.
Well, at the end, they got like about 15 bottles of soda and stuff all around their laptops. Empty bottles, I should say.
What a mess.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they were too.
There's 90 hours of your life you won't get back.
You know what? I was off all last week. I'm not going to sit there and click around Google Maps for 90 days or
exactly.
90 hours.
Exactly. Yeah, that's your Christmas vacation.
Now, I probably clicked enough to do that, but I'm not doing that.
All right, next one I thought was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Is a prosthetic tentacle better than a prosthetic arm? That
Isn't
is the question
cool?
of the day.
Yes. I would want one if I had. I mean, I would be willing to try it out if I had the need for something like that, wouldn't you?
On one side, we have a typical prosthetic arm with five fingers, a complicated motor system, and human resemblance. On the other side, we have a prosthetic tentacle with a one curl grip, simple motor, and creeptastic design. Which is better? I'm going with the tentacle.
You know what? I would say that I would want it flesh colored or something, but I think it's pretty cool.
You'd get that Zoidberg thing going on.
Yeah. You know, no, seriously, if you look at the little demonstrate the pictures, I'd like to see it in action.
Yeah, let me bring those up.
It makes a lot of sense. I think it makes a lot of sense.
You can grasp and curl a book. You can grasp a key because it goes down to a pretty fine point, like a key ring. You can loop it around. So you've almost got the same as like opposable thumb and forefinger. So you grab a bottle or a coffee mug or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's curl-tastic, as it says.
Curl-tastic. No, I think it's cool. Yeah, it is a little weird to see right at first. It looks like, you know what she looks like? Like the Terminator. Like, you know, Robert Patrick's Terminator. You know, where he made the spikes with his hands.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think it's an innovative design, and it challenges people to think outside the box for, you know, for just such this kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, really, all right. This is a great design idea of thinking outside of the box, because is it really practical to try and replicate a hand, you know, or try and do something different like that, where it just, you know, it's much easier to make, you know.
I think somebody just looked at nature and went, how would an octopus do this?
That's exactly what I'm sure that was part of the meeting.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question.
They were inspired.
Yeah. How would a jellyfish do this?
How would a porcupine make love?
Whoa. Let's get past that rooster story.
Right? I'm not on the rooster story. I'm marching into the Remember When segment. How about you?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
First up in the Remember When segment, we have an Apple engineer who redesigned. He used Legos to rebuild an ancient Greek mechanism.
Is there anything you can't do with Legos?
The Antikythera mechanism is what you call truly old school technology, argued to be one of the oldest known computer. This ancient Greek invention was used sometime circa 100 BC to calculate and predict celestial events and eclipses with unprecedented accuracy. Skipping past two millennia, in which it lay lost on the seafloor somewhere, the mechanism has now been recreated by an Apple software engineer by the name of Andrew Carroll, who has lovingly pieced 1,500 Lego Technic blocks together, creating 110 gears and 4 gearboxes in total. Each box is responsible for performing one piece of arithmetic, and when the resulting machine is fed with appropriate calendar data, it spits out, and hopefully accurate, prediction of the next time solar eclipse should occur. All well and good, but we're really just amazed by the beauty of all those gears working.
It looks cool.
That is amazing. Now, I've seen shows on Discovery or National Geographic about this particular device, and they've been trying to figure out what it's for quite some time. And recently, they started X-raying it and whatnot and said, you know what? I think these people were smarter than we give them credit for.
Atlantis.
And for a long time, this thing was thought to be a hoax because they said, no, it can't be that old. Nah, it can't be that complex. Nah. But if the dating is right and it's 100 BC and the gears and things are right and on the back they've got almost like a star map. I'll be honest with you,
this is the first time I've seen this machine. So that's, I mean, the one they're talking about.
The Lego machine, yeah. You haven't seen the Antikythera mechanism that they spoke about?
No, I don't. I danced around this. I never saw this.
Oh, man, you got to watch more science shows. It's cool stuff.
I know, I need to. Hey, by the way, I asked earlier, is there anything you can't do with a Lego? And 80 Dude brought me back to Earth and says, yeah, you can't bring back the dead. Oh, yeah?
Yet.
Zombie Legos.
Yet.
Yeah.
Julie was asking me that earlier. She says,
the day is still young.
I forget what she was doing. It wasn't like an SAT thing or something. It was some kind of quiz for the National Honor Society or something. And it was just like rhetorical questions. They didn't actually have a right or wrong answer. They just want to find out what you thought. And they said, name two kinds of people in this world. And I said, dead and alive.
Ones and zeros.
Pretty basic stuff.
There's 10 types of people in this world.
Yeah, there's 10 types. Those who understand binary and those who don't.
Yeah.
That's 10 types, not two.
That's right.
All right.
Hey, by the way, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I was moving on to the next story. What do you got?
Oh, you made me think about, we were all sitting around, we got our Christmas tree up and everything, and we're watching TV, and all of a sudden the tree just goes dark.
Yikes.
we're all sitting there going, don't look at me. I didn't touch anything. And so I get up, and of course it's a fuse, but I kept thinking of the Christmas story. You know, where
fuse is out. Don't anybody move.
Don't anybody move.
I almost won a leg lamp nightlight this last weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a gift exchange, office. And you were allowed to steal and steal again, and I had it for a while, but it also shifted ownership about 5 more times after I lost it. So
you know what? You know, as funny as gaudy as that is, now it's some pretty sought after.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the women were all kind of stealing these ceramic holiday mug sets, and I'm like, no, I want that lamp. And there was also a Charlie Brown Christmas tree that was pretty funny, too.
Oh, I saw one of those in the store. I thought about getting one of those as well.
That's pretty funny. Decorate your office at work.
Yeah, I'm taking some lights in tomorrow. I'm going to decorate my room.
All right, on to the next story. We have a picture that it doesn't need much explanation, but okay, I'll explain it anyway.
Yeah.
An airship probably shouldn't look like this, right? Now, don't be thinking about that rooster story again.
No.
We're moving on. This is not an adult-themed show, if in case you were wondering, if you were looking at the live webcam. This classic image of the USS Los Angeles shows what happened when a gust of wind caught the back end of a moored airship. It could literally turn a 656-long blimp vertical. Amazingly, wow. No one was hurt. Can you imagine being in like the gondola of that thing? It's like, whoa!
Everybody would be sitting up against the windshield.
Yeah, everybody smack up against the front window.
Yeah.
It looks like a laughably ginormous bomb was about to be dropped over the top of a radio tower, doesn't it? But seriously, it happened because a cold air front lifted the airship's tail before the ship could swing around in the mast in 1927. Wow. Just wanted to run that one past you. Thought it was great.
No, that is cool.
There's
another one. You know, like what is I'm thinking of these airships like this. You know, in New York, what is it? Empire State Building have the mooring clamps on the building.
Yep.
They don't think they ever use them, did they?
No, not to the best of my knowledge. I think it was idea that never came to fruition.
Yeah, for situations just like this.
You just
swing around.
No, you just put the door on the front end and dump the people out.
Yeah, just have them rappel down.
Just dump them out on the roof.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Just dump them out.
All right. The next one I thought was interesting. This came from, did this come from somebody in particular? Let me look at the notes again. Come on. We did have some contributions here.
How far did Armstrong and Aldrin really walk on the moon?
From Brian, our news correspondent. The last story was from Brian also about the airship, too. So apologies for not giving credit where credit is due. He submitted that one in. How far did Armstrong and Aldrin actually walk on the moon? Well, not much more than the area of a baseball field or a soccer field or football, if you prefer. So, a lot of it actually fits in the infield, where they roamed around. If you put
Except for Armstrong, he's all over the place.
Not Lance Armstrong.
No, I didn't say Lance.
Yeah, that's when they got mad, and Armstrong had to go out for a constitutional. Fine, I'm going over a walk over to that rock of about.
I gotta go see a man about a crater.
So if we put the lunar lander module in center field, or right on the pitcher's mound. Yeah, most of the stuff fits in the infield, except for that stroll that Armstrong took into the outfield and back.
Actually, this looks like some kind of entrails from an alien.
Ew. You know what? If you think about it, the really fascinating thing here is all that stuff is still up there. I mean, the footprints are still just as pristine.
How do you know?
How do you know? There's no wind. There's no erosion, except for maybe a micrometeor right here and there.
They still get meteorites there. Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure it's still there. But we was out on the Mythbusters. It's got to be right.
Right.
Shot it with a laser. Yeah. Actually, me and Anderson watched that episode recently, and he's like, wow, they're going to blow the moon up.
What?
With a high power laser.
Oh,
how powerful the laser was. Like, he's like, well, they're going to blow the moon up. I'm like, no. I can look quite like that. But yeah, Armstrong is the one. He went farthest out. It's like he went to retrieve the baseball. He went out.
I got it.
I guess that's when they had the rover, right? Or the,
not
the
on, car. Not on 11.
Oh, that's right. This is for 11. No, I'm thinking, well, there's a camera. These are camera positions. Look, it is fake.
No, it's not fake. They set up the cameras.
Yeah. No, I believe it. I believe it.
We need to take a quick break and then come back with the media corner.
That's fake.
Where I can teach you your ABCs. And we have a question for you that we want your feedback. All that coming up right after this. Dean the comedian.
Yeah. I guess I can't really do that much computer hacking. Got me somebody short and weaselly.
Talk about the X-Files.
Oh, well, it's scary. It's still scary. Scared. If you can imagine that.
That's way too out there.
That's what all your staff thinks of you.
I am not kidding.
invented a laptop cooling system called the Chill Pack.
Why didn't I think of that?
Chill, coolie, chili pack, chill, coolie, hottie pack. Yeah. How many variations?
It's tech. I'm drooling.
Tech. Exactly. Right. I laugh at your age too. The power of my age four will crush your age two.
Let's see, I'm not compensating for anything.
This interview's over. There's now silence.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong, Ensign Harry Kim from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
First one up is an ABC's book. For those of you who haven't gotten your children's Christmas presents yet, this is a... From ComicsAlliance.com, the adorable ABCs of Star Wars. A is for Akbar. It's got a little baby Akbar crying. It's a trap. B is for Bosk. C is for Chewie and C-3PO. D is for Dash Rendar. E is for...
He's from the alternate. He's from the extended universe.
Yes. E is for Ewoks. He's not canon. F is for Fett. G is for Greedo. H is for Han Solo. I is for IG-88. Hang on there. J is for Jabba. K is for Kyle Katarn. L is for Luke and Leia fighting over a Bantha toy.
That's funny. They're both crying.
M is for Mara Jade. N is for Ninon. How do you say his last name? He's eating a wedge of cheese.
Well, that's what he sounded like when he was on the Falcon.
O is for Obi-Wan. P is for Palpatine, full of electricity. Q is for Quinlan Vos.
Who?
Hey, baby.
I don't know about that one.
R is for R2-D2. His little projection. He's got like stick figure C-3PO on him holding hands. S is for Stormtroopers slipping out a banana peel. T is for Thrawn. What's that on his back?
He was in the books.
Is for Ulic Keldroma. V is for
Vader.
W is for
Wedge.
X is for
Zizor.
And
Eyesore,
that's what she is. Y is for Yoda and Z is for
Zuckus.
I kick you right in your Zuckus.
He's Zuckus you.
Alright.
Thanks, 80 dude, for that.
We also came across an interesting one this week. What if Dr. Seuss met up with Doctor Who? And it came up with a cute little cartoon cover of "Oh, the Times and Places You Will Go."
I love this. This is cool.
The artist is just terrific on this. He's even decorated out the top of the TARDIS with that kind of Seussian look.
Yeah, I like his sonic screwdriver.
He's got the Matt Smith hairdo and Amy Pond looks like she's about 12.
Yeah. Oh, the times and the places you'll go.
I want to read the book.
Is that a real book?
No. The Daily What has these things like things that should be real of the day, or things that you must watch of the day, or stupid Christmas sweater of the day. You know, everything is of the day.
Yeah.
So this one caught my eye, and I thought it just fascinating more than anything else.
Now, I think you had a question that you skipped over there.
Oh, yes, I did. Speaking of... No. There was another. That's in the Geek Library? Nope. Coming up.
Media Corner.
In the Media Corner, we have... I jumped into the Geek Library somehow. Quick, back to the Media Corner.
Running back.
Someone had a tweet, I forget where it was or where I saw this past week, but wanted to find out from you, the listener, what did you discover first, Star Trek or Star Wars? and give us your story. Don't just, you know, like send an email. I'm on Star Trek first. You know, for me, it was as I was a kid watching Star Trek at my grandma's house of all places, because grandpa was on in years and he couldn't take care of himself. But, you know, grandma had to run out and do errands every once in a while. So she'd call up one of us 19 million grandkids that she had and say, could one of you come over and watch Grandpa Dick? So he was basically sleeping in his chair the whole time while we watched TV. But we weren't allowed to touch the TV. Whatever grandma turned on, that's what you had to watch, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a remote, and it's like you were stuck there watching whatever it was. So sometimes it was Bill Kennedy at the movies, and you were watching like some old Greta Garbo movie from 19-whatever. Yeah. Or other times it was Lawrence Welk.
Oh, wow. Mm.
But there were times when it was Star Trek, and we got to watch Star Trek. And that was my first experience with Star Trek long, long before Star Wars was even on the silver screen. So that's my story, and I want to hear your similar tales of, I know we have, our demographic is a little older, and I'm betting that most of them are Star Trek over Star Wars, but we have some younger listeners too. Yes, what is your story?
I would definitely Star Trek, because, you know, I was just introduced to that because it came out way before Star Wars. But I would ask for my parents' permission to eat dinner in front of TV to watch Star Trek, or sometimes the $6 Million Man, you know, like stuff like that. But Star Trek, I got really into, and I wanted to record them. And I've mentioned this before. I wanted to record them and listen to them again, you know, like I had a DVR or something mm-hmm. nowadays, but I would tape the microphone to the TV and pretty much case the speaker and record to my dad's tape deck and save the cassettes and listen to them later. So definitely Star Trek. However, see, for me, I would say Star Wars and Star Trek both have equal footing in my life, because Star Wars is so different. When you saw it, you're like, it was just the shock factor of me going, wow. You know, especially kicks off a lightsaber, things like that.
Yep.
You know, it's just totally different things. But Star Trek, I would say definitely first.
You mean like this?
Wow.
Isn't that a great effect? How do they do that?
You can watch the behind the scenes and figure it out. But no, yeah, Star Trek.
And
yeah,
Ewoks. Recorded.
See, actually, I got a double thing on the Star Trek because we watched it, and then, you know, I did my own little VCR type thing before VCRs came out.
He drew pictures of everything that was on the screen.
I had to draw fast, but yeah. 24 frames a second. I'm like, shh.
Mad Marv is fast. He's just sent off his email. Now we want to hear the rest of your stories. What did you watch first and the background behind that? You know, did you go to the opening show of Star Wars and that was it, or did your friends all hype it up and then you went and you know, you snuck in?
Yeah,
Lucas is going to be suing you.
I got to tell you what though, I had no idea what Star Wars was because I just didn't see any commercials for it. Or if you've seen the trailer on YouTube, it's not great. But I didn't know what it was, and we lived in Texas, and we were in South Carolina visiting family, and it was in July. It was my parents' anniversary, and they took me and my brother out to a movie to go see Star Wars. Well, I went in, and when I came out, I was not the same kid as I was when I walked in. I was just like, wow.
Like many, he was changed forever.
Yep, and every time somebody was going to see Star Wars, I would tag along. Oh, can I go? Can I go? Let me guess my parents. You know,
how many times did you see money. That thing?
I had no idea. I mean, it probably 10 or more in the theater, you know, when it first run. I don't know. I'm just taking a guess there. Probably more than that.
Jeez.
When Empire, I didn't see Empire in the theaters many times, but it was just as awesome.
All right. We are running short on time, and I want to get through two more things. Don't forget, send us your stories, Technorama at chuckchat.com. Or the listener line, 206-222-2428, because we want to hear your story from you. That would be awesome. Email is second best. Then I get to read it in your voice.
Yeah. Wow.
Back to the Geek Library. We have a couple things. If you have any children and you haven't done your Christmas shopping for them, or you're shopping for nieces and nephews or something like that, there is a great place to go. IO9 has this thing called 10 Great Geeky Gifts for Kids. For the toddlers, they have Here Comes Science. They Might Be Giants. This DVD CD set covers scientific topics like photosynthesis, elements, states of matter, and planets, except Pluto. They also have a periodic table placemat, which I think is just totally awesome. And, of course, alphabet blocks, but these are carved up in really intricate designs, like D is for dirigible, and T is for tentacles. So they have pictures of tentacles. These look like they were laser etched. They're really cool. And a plush orc. Yeah, you can get your toddler the heroes of Lord of the Rings as cute, cuddly plushies.
They weren't that cuddly in the movie.
For preschool to early elementary, Our Neighbor Totoro. This is one of the greatest kids' movies of all time. Sweet, sad, and touch of scary, and a lot of funny. Introduce your kid to Japanese pastoral way of life, as well as spectacularly strange and lovely creatures of Hayao Miyazaki's mind. Hopefully the beginning of a complete collection of Ghibli films. They also have Phineas and Ferb Bingo / Dominoes. You watch Phineas and Ferb at all?
No, we don't have Disney.
Oh, they're pretty funny. Techno Gear's Marble Run, which looks like I've seen these. There's like gears and tubes and things. It looks kind of like Mousetrap, only on steroids.
Yeah, I've seen things like this in the past. You kind of build it and the ball goes around. And like a what you call it machine. My mind's gone blank. Like
Yes.
What do you call it? Goldberg. Yeah, Rube Goldberg machine. Thank you, okay. 80 dude.
Wow.
Gumball machine. Not gumball. Rube Goldberg machine. Thanks for helping out, Chuck.
Hey. Anytime.
Yeah, you do. He's on fire tonight. All right. Anyway.
Lots of other gifts for the elementary school. Hello World, Computer Programming for Kids and Other Beginners by Warren Carter Sando. Oh, hey, I gotta look at that.
Which one?
The Hello World under elementary school. Your kid spends all his or her time playing with video games, whether it's educational software, Angry Birds, or Picto chatting on the DS. So, get your kids started on the basic programming. The book's blog has updates, links to videos, and author answers to questions. This is what I was looking for when my kids were younger.
Oh, well. No, this is cool. The little Python. What is this, Python?
I have no idea what's in there.
I'm going to check this out.
Could be basic. Yeah, get Harrison on it. There you go.
Yeah. He was wanting to make games.
I mean,
he's wanting to make these games, right? And he's like,
right.
Yeah, heck, we make this game. Like, okay, what are you talking about? And he's talking like a 3D game. I'm like, whoa.
He's got an imagination. Let him bring it to fruition this way.
Oh, yeah. He's got imagination, all right.
The game of Flux. We have that somewhere. My sister gave it to me. That's a good game. Book dealing with dragons, Hero and a Crown, Interworld. Lots of great books, of course, for your upcoming geeks. You know what? Some of these would be fun. I should send this to Susie the Geek for How to Grow Your Geek podcast.
Yeah, we need to send this to her. Yep.
There we go. Finally, I couldn't resist. I know we're running a little short on time, but I got to cover this one. Came across a comic at the Daily What, and it's got all the Star Wars characters standing there with their Christmas hats out in the snow, and Yoda's just jingling along. Everybody else has this. Oh my God, look on their face, because Yoda is singing.
Wait a minute, can I read it? Can I read it? I'm gonna read it, Yoda.
Okay.
Merry Christmas, we wish you. Merry Christmas, we wish you.
And the caption is, nobody liked caroling with Yoda. So I started thinking, are there other songs out there that could have been done by Yoda? And the first one I came up with, I mean, I'm just pulling these at random. I came up with Little Drummer Boy, because it sure sounds like it was sung by him. Think about it. Come, they told me. Pa-ra-pa-pum-pum. You know, rearrange that. It could be, they told me to come. A newborn king to see. Pa-ra-pa-pum-pum.
Hey, 80 dude throughout, not a carol, but hello by
Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie. Oh, boy.
Hello, is it me you're looking for?
Looking for me, you are?
So take another Christmas Carol and Yodify it. I just made that word up. It's fun.
Yodify. We should register that domain. Yeah.
On Bobtail Bells They Ring.
Yeah. No, that's funny. I do want to add something. I went to a play today. It was for about Vernon Grant. Are you familiar with Vernon Grant?
No.
Vernon Grant, you know, he's the one that came up with a Snap, Crackle, and Pop. You know,
Yeah.
And he had that whole styling with the gnomes and pointy shoes and all that kind of stuff. Well, he lived in, let's see, Chicago, I think California, New York, and he ended up here for about 4 years, and he made a big impact on Rock Hill. As a matter of fact, if you come to Rock Hill during Christmas, you'll see the Vernon Grant Santas and all that. And at first I'm thinking, wow, you know, Rock Hill sure does milk the fame pretty good. You know,
there's only one famous person.
But no, actually, when I saw the play, it was about his life, and I went, oh, you know, actually, he did have a bigger impact than I thought. I didn't know all of this stuff. I learned a few things. So I know he's big and here in town and well, he's done. But yeah, that's pretty good. He even known his family, or his wife, rather, inherited all the land where they have Pontiac, you know, the famous golf course down here.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds neat. Hey, that's it for us. We've run out of time. We appreciate you giving it your attention to us for this period of time. We appreciate you giving us your support as well. There are many ways to show your love. You can call that listener line. Let us know what your Star Trek, Star Wars story was. 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428 for those of you without letters on your phone.
Or your Yodified Carol.
Oh, Yodified Carol would be great this time of year. Make us laugh. You don't even need a singing voice to sing like Yoda. That's the cool part.
Hey, you got a few days for our Christmas episode.
That's right. Send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com, and we'll sing your Yodified song for you if you really want to hear that.
Wow. Okay.
Send us a tweet. See Tomasi Step K, Technorama. You know the tweet handles. We're out there for you. Oh, lots of good stuff. Hey, want to thank Mad Marv for providing all the great blog content during the week. Thank you very much, Marv. Ustream, who keeps our modest live streams going and archives the shows on Sunday. If you happen to be around, 9:30 Eastern, we'll be here. We want to see you in that chat room. Join the fun with all the other people. The chat room is provided by ThinStack.net. Thanks to Steve Rickenberg and all the guru crew over there. This show is a Santa, I need those lips soon! This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with farpointmedia.com and all the great podcasts over there. If you haven't checked one out, do so soon, or you'll regret it, because there'll be more tomorrow to look for. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
Ooh, 101.
Merry Christmas.
Ho, 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 101.
You heard it. You can't unhear it.